Teen Girls Club, which is now the Hudson Youth Center, which has been an integral part of my life. Without that, I would have had no foundation for anything that I ever did in my life. I mean, growing up, the Boys and Girls Club, it used to be the Hudson Boys Club by itself, just the Hudson Boys Club back when I was 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. And it was a place where kids from all over the city of Hudson, Greenport, Clawbrook, and all the surrounding areas used to congregate. You know, we had, it was set up in structures where there was, where were midgets, juniors, intermediates, and seniors based on age group. 6 to 9 was the midgets, 10 to 12 was the juniors, 13 to 15 were the intermediates, and the 16 to 18 were the seniors. That was based on the membership. And every year, you know, we come in, and you know, at a certain time, where certain kids were allowed, and there certain age groups were allowed at certain times, and it was so structured. Like there was every night there was a game room activity, a tournament that would take place, whether it was air hockey, knock hockey, bumper pool. Ping pong, there was always something going on. Upstairs, same thing. There was always teams, and there was rosters on the wall where you know what team you were on, and some nights it was kickball, volleyball, wiffle ball, basketball, flag football. I mean, it was always something. And they, you know, just, you're talking about bonding and being friendships with kids that didn't live in our community, but we ended up going to school with them. Once we hit the middle school, that's when all the schools came together. You know, from up to fifth grade, you know, they had Clawbrook School, they had a Greenport School, they had they had their schools. But once we all hit sixth grade, but by that time, we were all friends. We developed friendship growing up in the Boys and Girls Club. I mean, and and around the Boys and Girls Club, there were places that we loved to eat, like the snack bar was across the street, the pizza pit was around the corner, the Jersey Bakery was around the corner. I mean, those, the Paramount Grill, those things, you know, those were places that we all loved and we grew up in, and the people all knew each other. You know, if you came in there, you had short money, didn't have enough money, they, you know, they'd give it to you. I mean, they allowed you to work. I mean, it was so important. With the Boys and Girls Club, I mean, the staff we had, staff that were there for long term, you know, you come in at 6 year old, by the time you leave at 18, the staff was still the same. We had, I mean, the directors changed over the time, but you're talking about Mo Crank, who was involved with the Boys and Girls Club for over 50 years of his life.
Oh, Todd? And
you're talking about Ray Paul, Jerry Woods, Marty Freeman. These are all the executive directors during my tenure. Tony Teresiano. I mean, it was awesome. Pat Malloy, he was one of my first mentors.
Todd, I just wanted to again repeat, if people hadn't come in the beginning, that I'm speaking to Todd Smith, who grew up in Hudson, and his reminiscing of going to the Boys and Girls Club, and you can continue. Pat Malloy is still involved.
Yeah, he's always been, he's gonna always be involved with youth. That's one thing I appreciate about him. You know, he was one of my first, him and Mo Crank were like my first mentors, and they guided me, directed me in the right path. Like when I was like 11, 12 years old, they allowed me to start running activities in the gym. Mo Crank and Lenny Hughes, Jerry Woods, Miss Woody, Adam Nardowicz, Esther Finn. That was the team back in the 70s. And they allowed me to, they groomed me to become who I was. You know, I was allowed to volunteer on certain days. I used to be the one to run the store for them. Or some days when they had to run out real quick and we're in the gym, they allowed me to run activities. You know, I'm only a little kid myself, but you know, but all the kids respected me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and as a result, like my first summer job was a continuation of that. So they allowed me, like they created a position, recreation supervisor aide for the Department of Youth, And Woody was the director of executive director of the Department of Youth. So and he was the director at the Boys and Girls Club. So he knew who I was, and they created this position for me to work the 7 playgrounds at the time. And I worked with the recreation supervisor. Well, the first year was Louis Pirro, and then the next 2 years it was Pete Jablanski. And I would ride around with them in the Department of Youth truck to different playgrounds during the summer. And you know, when they took off or had, you know, emergency medical leaves or family something, or their own sick time or whatever, I would have to ride my bike around to the 7 playgrounds and hold activities. So you know, they all did a good job of mending me and molding me to be the person I am today. Over the time, growing up in the Boys and Girls Club, then it became the Girls' Night on Thursday. That they included girls on Thursday night. And it was funny because I was like the only boy, the only member allowed in on Thursday night when it was only for specifically for girls. And all my friends used to sit outside and be peeking in the window, you know, and I'm holding that activity for the girls. I think I was 13 or 14 years old. And it was just fun, you know. But then, you know, as time went on, then I realized that, hey, I ended up actually working there as a program director. I started to know as a rec aide, and then I became a program director, then assistant director. Oh, and then it became the Hudson Youth Center. Now that it's the Hudson Youth Center, I went to work somewhere in another organization, and then Dick Tracy became the mayor. And so they brought back me and Dominic Moranti as the co-directors at the Hudson Youth Center. But now, over time, I stop in all the time there. But I with all the new directors that they had and new mayors, you know, they had me involved with at some point with the youth center, you know, and all the directors there, like Nick Zakos recently, you know, I went and met with him to help, you know, talk about my experiences there to make his job a lot easier. I told him, and then I ended up teaching boxing over the last 2 years there. That boxing is a big thing for me right now. So I've been teaching, and it's like 40. We wanted to start with like about 10 to 12 kids, a certain age, for half an hour, then do another half an hour. But it's like at certain days, it's like 40 kids. When I walk in the gym in the Boys and Girls Club, the youth center, the kids run up to me, Todd, Todd, Todd. Some days I'm just there, you know, they come in and say hi, and you know, but Thursday evening, they know it's boxing night, and so they all run up to the gym, and you know, we have a good time. I see that the things have changed, and now that what I see that the youth center is a lot educational now, which is so important with the changing in times. You know, sports, they still have a lot of sports stuff going on, but the education part is so important. Teaching the kids how to use computers, social skills, how to cook, dancing, this stuff that's important to the growth of youth nowadays than it was back in our days. Back in our days, it was predominantly sports, you know, and you know, rough and tumble guys, you know, because it was a boys' club. But you know, as things change now we're seeing a different youth now. We got to change with the times, and they're doing a great job down there. You know, I haven't had the opportunity to meet the new director, but I hear so much about her. But I know that they're going to continue to provide the programs necessary for the youth to meet their needs. I mean, it's so important. And the boy, like I said, the Boys and Girls Club, the Hudson Youth Center, the Hudson Boys Club has always been so dear to my heart. And people know, they always say, that's your baby. People tell me that even today, that's your baby. Yeah, and it is. You know, I that's my heart, man, because the people who came before me allowed me to be who I am. And I know that I'm going to do the same thing to anybody who works with youth in the city of Hudson. I'm gonna give them pointers, and I'm going to listen to them, and I'm gonna give them advice if they come to me, you know, if they seek me out and ask me, what do I think, you know? And it's so important, you know, to carry the torch and to be able to pass it when it's my time to pass it, you know, to pass it knowing that Hudson is still in good hands.
Do you have some people that are kind of, you're grooming any? Some of the kids?
I've groomed them a lot. Like the mayor, the mayor now, Kamal Johnson, I've had him since he was 12, 13 years old. Isaiah Hurd, he's a high school basketball coach. Now I had him when he was younger. I mean, I've mentored, I mentored just about any, in the last four generations in the city of Hudson. I mean, I've been doing this since I was 12 years old, 11 years old. I've been working with youth. And, you know, they all reach out to me. They all call me OG. What do I think? They ask me, what do I think about this? What do I think about that? You know, and I give them, you know, I allow them to be themselves. You know, I tell them, you know, like, you got to do it your way. The way I did it in my time is different than the way you do it, but I can offer assistance if you ever need it, you know. And I let them know that my phone is always available. You know, I'm always here to listen, you know, because it's a struggle. Working with youth is definitely a struggle, you know, because you have to meet them on their terms.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a big, important thing, I guess. You have to be, you don't want to be like talking down to them.
Exactly. Because we were once them, and we didn't want that.
It sounded like it's continued. I didn't realize the boxing program is there.
Oh, yes. I started it. We started it actually in 2005 at the Boys and Girls Club before they changed it over to the Hudson Youth Center. And once they changed it over to the Hudson Youth Center, I walked away because they wanted me to reapply after being in it my whole life. Why do I need to reapply for a position which I've been doing my whole life? And you guys all know that. So we left out of there. We went TSL, Linda Musman, and they provided us a space at the Presbyterian Church on 4th and Warren, 3 days a week.
Okay.
And when I left the Boys Club that year, 2005, like 80 kids followed me.
Oh, wow.
And they just follow me there. And so the people who own the Moose Lodge now, they knew I was doing boxing down there. We were doing boxing and dance club. And we had like 80 youth that just came with me. And so the people who run the Moose Lodge, they said, we got space out here. You can come out here and boxing for free. So I moved out there, went out there, and I've been out there since 2006.
Wait, I thought the Moose Lodge I thought it's kind of closed down. No?
It's not closed. It's closed down now because they're in the process of, it started like 2 years ago. They're getting ready to build an indoor sports complex.
Oh, really?
But with COVID and everything, had to stop construction. And then during that time, the bank held the money back because there was no way for them, with everything being closed down, they couldn't open it up to allow people in it because they wouldn't be able to make the money back. You know, that's, you know, if everything is closed and you can't have people congregating to certain areas, you know, so that the bank held the money back. But I'm quite sure, well, I think I heard recently that everything is being released, the money is being released so they could restart the building. And, yeah, but I've been teaching boxing there for 17 years now. Yes, going on 17 years. And over those years, we worked with well over 700 youth, young adults, kids, which majority now, they start with me when they're 12, 13 years old. A lot of them are 25, 30, 35. You know, a lot of them are in the military, a lot of them in law enforcement, and a lot of them are working in their communities and not-for-profits, giving back.
Can I ask you?
All the kids that competed in boxing tournaments, all of them graduated high school. There's like 70, 80 of those who competed in tournaments. Like, a lot of them don't come to boxing just to fight. They come to learn, the camaraderie, just being there. You know, some of them come to get in shape. Some of them, you know, some come from different reasons. Some just come just to hang out and watch, you know.
Could I ask you, if somebody wants to join it, I don't know if everybody's aware of it. Where do they go to apply or to, you know, how do they contact you?
Well, like I said, we're at the Hudson Moose Lodge on 100 Town Hall Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're slowly opening back up, you know, because of COVID and everything. We're taking it slowly. I mean, right now we're just trying to work with like 5 to 10 kids daily, you know, just so once the numbers, the COVID numbers go down and you know, we feel safe, because safety has always been our priority. Like, nobody over the 17 years, nobody got harmed, other than maybe you might want to get a bloody nose, the ones who are competing. But safety has always been our priority. And, you know, we just want to make sure that it's safe and that we continue to give the kids, youth, the young adults and adults, what they want, you know, what they come there for. You know, like I said, all of them don't come for to compete in tournaments and become members of USA Boxing. Some just come to train, to work out, to learn, the self-confidence. That's a big thing what we do. We teach self-confidence. Nobody, all of them who fight, box, whatever, come to the gym, they know fighting in the streets, and none of that, because I won't train you, you know, but you have the right to defend yourself. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, once they start boxing, people know that they're with me, that they're in my gym. You know, they don't have problems anyway, you know.
Do you have girls as well as boys?
Sure do. I mean, it's crazy because some of the, like, a lot of the kids were going, well, you know, because all of them call me, like, dad, pops, because a lot of them don't have fathers. So they look at me as a father figure. So the ones making the decision to go in the military, because they've been watching other ones before them go in the military, whether it's the Navy, Air Force, Marines. We got National Guard. We got them all. We got every branch covered. And so some of the girls are like, hey, I'm going to go to college to become a trauma surgeon to work with people who get injured in the armed forces. And that was crazy. So, yeah, we have girls, young girls. They start, like, a lot of the guys who, like, with some of them are professional boxers now. We got a couple of them that are professional boxers now. But most of the kids, when they start, when they're 13, 14, when they have kids, they're all in their kids' lives, and the kids grow up in the gym, like coming in the gym in carriages and strollers, but now they're 5 and 6 years old, and they've been in the gym since they were babies, and they know how to throw certain punches and combinations because their fathers and our mothers have been in the gym that long. So it's like a tradition.
Wow, that's great. I can hear the excitement in your voice.
It is. I mean, it's my passion, man. I wish I would have started this a long time ago. It was crazy because when I grew up, I was a two-time Golden Glove champion, undefeated.
Oh, really?
And yeah, 80s, in the 82, 83.
Oh, wow. Could you have gone and to...
Never lost.
Were you ever...
My trainer died. Oh. My trainer was Freddie Schieber.
Okay.
And he was real good friends with Custom Model.
Okay.
Everybody thought I was going to end up going to Catskill Gym to Custom Model, but I just didn't want to box no more, you know? And like I said, in 2005, one of my friends, Carlos Santos, who was one of my co-trainers, he was one of Custom Model's original fighters. He was one of the five original fighters that Custom Model had. And he came to me and said, let's start a boxing program. And I said, huh? And, you know, they say, yeah, let's start a boxing program. So he was working at the Boys and Girls Club, actually, as one of the rec aides. I hired him as one of the rec aides. And he said, let's start a boxing program. And that's what we did in 2005. We started from the Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, wow.
And ever since, we're still going. We don't get no funding from nobody. Only person that has ever funded us was Linda Musselman and TSL in the beginning. They were giving us a stipend to do it, and they bought us what we needed. And Rick Richter gave us, one time he got a donation from one of his friends to help, you know, buy boxing equipment. But over these 17, 18 years, everything is, we've been paying out of our own pockets. And, you know, you're talking about thousands and tens of thousands of dollars that take kids to different tournaments throughout, all over the capital region and around far out to Ohio. I mean, staying overnight in hotels. Every year, kids got to get a boxing license, which was $50 at the time. But now it's like $80. That covers them for a year and protects them if they get an injury, that, you know, they're covered by USA Boxing. The trainer's license, we have to have be certified every year, background checks and all that other stuff. You know, I got both of my licenses. I got my USA Boxing license and my professional boxing license by the state of New York Athletic Commission.
Can I ask you?
I got to keep current with all those.
Can I ask you, are any of these young people compete in the Golden Gloves? They must have.
We've had several Golden Glove champions.
Oh, really?
I think we've had 12 champions. We've had, well, a couple of them are multiple champions. We've had best of New York. We had two New York State champions. We've had a silver medal and a bronze medal in the Empire State Games. We've had kids that were selected to represent the Adirondack region. We've had like four number one ranked in our region, Adirondack region, which goes from always from Ellenville up Kingston area, all the way up to Syracuse, up to all the way over to Watertown.
Wow.
So we've had some of the best of the best. We've had some of our pro fighters fought in Madison Square Garden, Barclays Center. I mean, yeah, we've do it all. We've had plenty of New York State champions. We've had it all.
Wow. So that's just one of the things. I mean, you're involved. Maybe you can tell us, you're involved in other community activities in Hudson.
Yeah, I've worked pretty much in every organization around. I worked Catholic Charities, I worked in Twin County, Green County, Community Action in Green County. Right now, I work in Hudson Housing Authority. I was a human service coordinator there for a few years. Right now, I'm working for Spark of Hudson and Promise Neighborhood. They are two really, really, really important organizations. They do so much that people don't know about. I mean, unbelievable. And right now, with Spark of Hudson, they are pretty much trying to do a lot of stuff in the city of Hudson and the surrounding area to help people get on their feet. You know, one of the founders, she told me, Suzanne told me that her goal is to build a utopia, to get it back to where it used to be. When you're talking about neighbors on the porch playing cards, block parties, safe places for kids. You know, those things are so important. And, you know, once I spoke with her, it was like a instant connection. Like, wow, she got the same goals as I do. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was so important. And Promise Neighborhood, they do, I mean, so much, man. Like, I had a friend that just recently got released from prison. And Promise Neighborhood, they provided him funding to get clothes and stuff. Like, who does that? Like, that, just simple stuff like that to help a person get back on his feet, to get his life together. Actually, they you know, he used money to get clothes and stuff to get an interview for a job, and he got the job, you know, and they told him, anything you need, we'll help you. I mean, those things, simple stuff like that, you know, it's so important to help a person to get back into the community, to get their life back, you know, second chances.
Wow. Now, Spark of Hudson, I've looked at it. Maybe you... that's something that you work for. Aren't they supposed to be awarding certain number of families a certain amount of money? Helping them?
They did that. That was something they did. Like, they started like a couple of years ago. And what they're right now, I know it's they started with 25 families, $500 a month for 5 years. But now I think they're up to 70. They did 50 more the following year. So now they're doing 75 families, $500 a month for 5 years. Which is awesome. And, you know, I know a lot of the families who are getting that money, and it definitely impacted, made a big positive impact on a lot of those families.
Can I ask you?
This time where there's food insecurity,
yeah.
And the COVID thing, you know, like, you know, a lot of them losing jobs or can't provide child care when the kids are home,
yeah,
for virtual learning and stuff. I mean, it impacted positive to a lot of families.
That's amazing. Aren't they involved with something about farmers or local farming? Or
it's crazy because I just had a Zoom meeting with the director from the Wally Farms, Alyssa. She's one of our she runs all that out there. And right now they asked me my assignment today, my task for today is because they want to hire people from the community. You know, it's from our community. They want to pay $25 an hour to start, to work farming, to learn farming. And they want to also hire youth as mentors, mentorship programs, the paid mentorship programs, not only for the farm, Wally Farms, but also for the old Columbia, I mean, the old West Iconic Diner that they recently bought. They're going to teach youth and the young adults, and they're going to hire them and teach them how to operate, run, how to cook, you know, things. They got so much important stuff coming down. So much that where they want to help people from the communities.
That's great, because I met you when I came to volunteer at the Salvation Army. And you sort of helped me. I walked in 2 weeks ago, and I'd never been in there, and you kind of showed me some basic things, remember? Even setting up.
You know, I started volunteering there last April, and it's like my baby now. Like, I love being there. I love being around people who volunteer, who give of themselves, you know? Like, we don't all have to be there. You see how many different people that volunteer there. I mean, so many people from so many different backgrounds, and I learned so much about different people, like with Charlie. I didn't know Charlie. You know, I remember Charlie back when we were kids. You know, Charlie's 80-something years old. He used to work in town fair, but I didn't recognize him. You know, it's just like, wow, he worked in Town Fair for 30 years. And that guy, and you're talking about inspirational. This guy is there every day. And, you know, this, you got to love that, you know? When you see seniors and people coming in, you know, just to give back unconditionally. Like, they don't have to be there, but they want to be there. It's so important.
Well, I saw yesterday a couple that came in with a large amount of food. And they come in, I guess, once a week. And now Darcy, who's the director, a friend of hers, they're installing more shelves. So they're going to have more shelves then they can keep the food organized.
That is so awesome, man. I love it there, man. That's like my second home now. Other than the boxing gym, that's like my second home.
And the food, I had the best meatloaf I've ever eaten in my life yesterday.
Miss Faye, and Lisa. Wonderful.
Yeah, and I'm only there Tuesdays.
Yeah, the cooks are wonderful. Like different days, they have different cooks, and they all come in and they prepare healthy, nutritious meals for the whole community. I think they serve almost 100 meals a day.
Yeah.
And they also give out food at the food pantry, boxes of food with produce, dry goods, meat, just healthy snacks, Mondays and Fridays, every Monday and Friday, 8 to 10. And if, like I said, if you people walk in with, they don't have food, that's one thing I love about Darcy and Barbie. I mean, they'll give somebody food. If they come in the days that they're not the food pantry days, I've never seen them turn nobody down. That's why I love going there, because I get a warm, fuzzy feeling every time when I see that. Like, you know, like one thing I know with it being food insecurity time now, where, you know, people don't have as much as they, you know, as normally with the prices of food and everything, they never turn nobody away. And it's just a great feeling to be around them.
No, it is. It is. It's amazing. So, is there anything else to add? You've covered the whole broad area.
Yeah, like I said, I love my city, man. I love Hudson. Like, people tell me all the time, like, I mean, I've been offered jobs out in different states for boxing, for just about anything, human services. I mean, everybody knows I'm not going away. They always tell me I'm not leaving Hudson, and I'm not. You know, I'm like third generation. My great-grandfather was pretty much did a lot for the community. My grandfather did it pretty much for the community, you know, and I'm next in line, you know. It's a good feeling, you know, to give back unconditionally, you know. It's a great feeling, you know, because we all need people. We all need help sometimes.
That's true, Don. So I want to thank you so much, Todd Smith, who grew up in Hudson, who spent so much time at the Hudson Youth Center or the Boys Club, Boys and Girls Club, and now is actually devoting a whole program with boxing for the youth and also volunteering in other areas, other places, as well as working a job. So you have you're on the go.
Yes, I am. Only way I can survive. It's important because I've been clean, sober, nicotine-free now. May 30th will be 28 years.
Oh, wow.
So that's a big part. This is a big part of my recovery, being busy, giving back.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Todd. And this will be aired soon, and I'll let you know. You can tune in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Todd. Have a great day.
Happy President.
Okay, bye now.
All right, well.